this morning, and the guys won't have this scripture verse because it was something that God just dropped in my heart, but it's the end of Psalm 19, and it says, "May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer." One of the translations says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my redeemer." And I wanted to start with that this morning, not just because I want my words to be acceptable to God, but because what I'm talking about today is a lot about our thought life and a lot about how we behave in certain situations. And a lot of that comes from what's going on in our head. And so we need to think about, and I want to start with, the fact that our thoughts need to be acceptable in the sight of God. Because if it's not acceptable in the sight of God, we need to readjust and rethink what we're thinking on. What are we meditating on? I read it on Facebook, actually. I have seen it before. It reminded me, and I don't know if I can get it word perfect, but basically an old Indian, Cherokee Indian guy says to his grandson, "There's two wolves inside of you. One is full of rage and jealousy and bitterness and anger, and the other one is full of love and peace and kindness and goodness." And the little grandson says, "Which one wins? Which one wins?" And the answer is the one that you feed. The one that you feed. So what goes on inside of you? And I start with that because today we're talking about freedom from anger. And I want to ask you this morning, what are you feeding into your life? What are you feeding into your life? Because what you feed on is how you think, and then how you think is how you act. So what are you feeding on in your life? You know, in many ways, anger is just an emotion. Anger is an emotion. The issue so much when we talk about freedom from anger is not the feeling of anger, but what we do with that feeling when we are angry. So if we're going to be free from anger, I want to talk this morning about what it means to deal with that. And it's something that I've had experience of in my life, and I suspect that each of you have had to learn how to handle anger as well. Because as we grow up and as we interact with people, stuff happens. And surprise, surprise, we feel angry when people do things that we're not real happy about. And so I want to talk this morning about how we deal with those things in our life. Ephesians 4:26 says, "In your anger, do not sin." In your anger, do not sin. The NLT translation says, "And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil." I like the way it says, "Don't let anger gain control over you," because that's the crux of the matter for us this morning. It's about whether anger has control over us, or we, with the help of God, are controlling our anger and dealing with our anger. Have you ever been really, 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 really angry when someone has provoked you? I have been. I nearly killed my sister. Literally, I nearly killed my sister when I was younger. I couldn't even tell you how old I was. I was probably about 14 or 15. I was playing the piano, and I don't know what she was doing. She was saying stuff, and she was deliberately provoking me. She was just provoking and provoking and provoking. And I put up with it, and I put up with it, and I put up with it, and then I let fly. And by golly, did she cop it. And I realised that I had to stop. At that point in my life, I thought, this has happened a few times. I remember situations where I'd let fly on a bus on the way to school. I remembered situations where I'd let fly at my older sister. And I began to think, yeah, maybe this is something I'm going to have to deal with in my life. I'm going to have to learn how to control my anger and how to behave appropriately when someone is provoking me. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of malicious behaviour." And I thought, well, that's interesting, because just previously it said, "In your anger, do not sin." And now it's saying, "Get rid of anger." Well, what's Paul on about here? So I looked the words up. The words are really, really similar. But the first one is about being provoked, the kind of situation I've just explained. The second one is more about a personality or a character that is defined by anger. And it says, get rid of the anger from your character. Get rid of the anger from your character. We are going to come across situations where we will feel angry, but don't allow it to define who you are as a person. And that's what Ephesians 4:31 is saying. It says, get rid of rage and anger. And look, rage is an extreme form of anger where you are completely and totally out of control We need to get rid of rage. We need to get rid of rage. We need to get rid of anger, because when it's something that defines us, it is not pretty. And you may think that you can hide it, but I can assure you it leaks out all over the place. And people notice it, and people are affected by it, and people are hurt by it. James chapter 1, 19 to 20 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Your anger can never make things right in God's sight." Have you ever noticed that? My anger never makes anything any better. Just ask my kids. My anger never makes anything any better. My anger means that I need to mop up afterward. My anger means that I need to seek out people and ask their forgiveness for the ridiculous and stupid way I have behaved and the horrible words that I have spoken to them. My anger and your anger does not make anything any better. When it spews out all over the place, it is not pretty. And God says, get rid of it. Do you know, when we feel that things are unjust, that's when we feel anger. And there are times when we feel anger about things that we know are wrong and we know are evil. That's what you do with that anger when you're feeling that way. And that's one of the things we need to work on, because anger is that emotion. Sometimes we repress anger and we suppress it, and sometimes we express it. But actually what we have to do is deal with it. Because when we suppress it and we push it down, it just builds up. That's what used to happen for me. I'd feel angry, so I'd just push it down. It comes out in a volcano later on, and it's pretty nasty. It's something we've got to deal with. And if we express it, you know, "Oh, but I'm just expressing my anger." Yeah, well, goody for you. No, it's actually not nice. You deal with it. Express it appropriately. Don't blurt it out all over everybody else and then think it's okay just because you're angry. It's not. We need to deal with it. Our anger isn't helpful for anybody. Suppressed anger can also turn in on ourselves and lead to depression, can lead to anxiety, can lead to all sorts of things. And expressed anger quite often leads, well, you only have to look at what's happening around the world at the moment to look at what outwardly expressed anger can do to people. So we need to deal with this. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to anger, but a wise person quietly holds it back." Are you a fool or are you a wise person this morning? Am I a fool or am I wise? What am I doing with my anger? Proverbs 12:16, "A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted." How many wise people are there amongst us this morning when we're insulted? I don't always feel calm when I'm insulted. I don't know about you. When someone insults me, calm is not the first response normally within myself. I have to work hard at remaining calm. But 2 Peter 2:19, part B, says this: "You are a slave to whatever controls you." You are a slave to whatever controls you. What is controlling us this morning? So if we're going to live in freedom, we need to deal with any anger that is controlling our behaviour, that is controlling our thoughts, that is controlling our actions. So how do we do it? It's easy enough to say we have to, but how? Guys, this is not easy. This is not an easy thing. But I think the first thing we have to do is we have to stop making excuses. We've just got to say no excuses. No excuses. We have to take responsibility for our own anger. We have to recognise that whilst it's a natural emotion, anger is an indicator that something is wrong. And we have to deal with the something that is wrong. Because the anger is pointing to it. It's like a big arrow that says, something in my life is not right. We have to recognise that. But we have to stop blaming others for our anger and our emotion. And we have to stop making excuses for our anger and emotion. We have to stop excusing the anger and saying, "It's okay, I only did that because I was angry. It's all right, I don't normally do that, I only did it because I was angry." That is not okay. Yeah. It is not okay to make that kind of excuse. Yeah. We like to make that kind of excuse because it makes it easy for us to just try and forget about that and move on. But we don't. It's always there. And the same thing will come around again, and we'll get angry again, and we'll lash out again, and then we'll go, oh, it's okay, I was just angry, it's all right. We've got to stop that behavior and say, no, it's not all right to behave that way. You see, it's not all right. Ephesians 4:26 is clear. It says, in your anger, do not sin. It is not okay to behave badly just because you're angry. It is our issue to deal with. It is not okay to kick the dog, the cat, the door, or another person and then go, oh, it's just angry, it doesn't matter. No, it's not okay, even if you don't like cats. It's not okay. It's just not okay. We actually have to ask ourselves, what is going on for me here? What is going on for me in this situation? Why am I feeling angry? Why am I feeling angry about the situation? What is it about this situation that gets my goat every time it comes up? What is it that is causing me to be angry? Is this because something good has been violated? Sometimes when we're angry, it is. Sometimes when we see people being abused and you know, we feel angry about that happening. But mostly our anger comes because we feel violated, because our pride, our insecurity, our life is being affected in some way, and we want to protect something that's actually not good. And so our anger comes from protecting something that we value, but it may not be a good thing that we're valuing. See, sometimes we value our pride and we don't want to feel embarrassed, so we get angry in a situation because we're trying to protect something, but it's actually we're not protecting anything that's good. We're only protecting our own sin. And a lot of our anger, guys, a lot of the anger we have to deal with in the world comes from protecting our own sin instead of dealing with it and moving on. We have to ask ourselves, am I trying to protect my own pride? Am I trying to get my own way? Am I trying to control someone else or this situation? Am I trying to manipulate someone? What is really going on for me in this situation? See, Cloud and Townsend, who are psychologists, tell us that anger rises up to protect what we value. But we have to ask ourselves the question, what am I valuing? What am I actually valuing? We need to reflect on the situation and ask, what is actually going on for me here? If a situation has occurred, and they will, don't blame the other person. Instead of doing that, reflect later on the situation. Think about what happened. What was going on for me in that situation, and how am I going to change it next time? How am I going to behave differently next time? What was happening for me? We have to understand what was happening first. Once we understand what is happening, we can begin to change what we do. But be honest and real with ourselves. Do you know what? That's really hard sometimes. It's really hard to be honest and real. Because do you know what? Quite often in a situation where we're angry, the other person has had a part to play, and we just want to focus on that. We want to focus on the part that the other person has played instead of focusing on our part in that. And we need to really look carefully at ourselves. We need to examine our own heart. And that's why I like that verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. We need to examine what is going on in our hearts. We have to ask ourselves what we're trying to protect. We have to ask ourselves what personal insecurities are behind our anger. What is actually going on for us? Reflect, think, work out what is happening. Get some help if you're struggling with it. Talk to somebody else if you can't work it out yourself. But deal with it. Do what you need to do to work out what is going on for you or for me in those situations. It's not easy. I don't claim for 1 minute to say that I have this down perfectly myself, because this is an ongoing and lifelong process, because it is something that keeps coming up. But the more we reflect, the more we think, and the more we consider what is actually going on for us in the situation, the better able we are to move forward and to change it. And to do differently in the future. The second point I've got here is just forgive, forgive, forgive. Can we get it into our heart that forgiveness is really important? Really important. Because what if our issue is long-term unresolved anger? do you know what? Sometimes when we work that out and we think there's been a whole lot of stuff, some of us have had difficult upbringings, some of us have had great upbringings, but sometimes there's this long-term stuff that's there. And sometimes it's really hard to deal with that. And we have to forgive, forgive, forgive. Because sometimes the person who has hurt us has gone. And we can't reconcile, we can't get back, we can't do anything. But we can forgive. We can let go of the hurt and the pain and the frustration that is called. You know, Matthew 18:15 says, go to the person. When there's a problem, go to the person. And that's really important. Can I say when you're going to do that? If it's been a situation where you felt really angry, make sure you don't go in your anger and sin while you're trying to talk to that person, because you will not make the situation better. The Bible tells us to deal with our own stuff, pull the log out of our own eye, and then go and talk to that person. And then we will be in a situation to be able to correct someone else. We need to go. We need to do it. We also need to seek God's forgiveness for our own behaviour. Because when we've been angry and when we have sinned in that anger, we have violated all of God's laws and His grace and everything else that we have just made a big mess of everything. God has done everything for us and He offers forgiveness for us. And when we understand that we have sinned in our anger, we need to go to God for our own forgiveness as well. We need to seek His forgiveness for our own lives. We need to be right and clean in ourselves. We need to seek His forgiveness for holding on to anger. Do you know that holding on to anger is actually a sin? Holding on to anger, it just becomes bitterness and resentment, and it can come out in rage. Holding on to anger is a sin. Whether you think you have a right to be angry or not, it's a sin to hold on to that anger. And we need to seek God's forgiveness. We need to seek His forgiveness. Mark 11:25 says, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Boy, that's tough. Isn't that just tough? Don't we just want God to forgive us our sins and not have to worry about anybody else? God actually says, first, forgive the other person. Yeah. You want to be forgiven? Come in forgiveness. Ask for it. But first, forgive the other person. Yeah. Boy, that's hard. Yeah. Boy, that's hard. This is what Jesus says. Just do it. Yeah. Forgive the other person. Yeah. It's not always easy. And like I said before, reconciliation isn't always possible. But forgiveness frees us. And if we want to be free from the outworkings of anger in our life, then forgiveness will free us. It is the only thing that can really get in and free us. We can do all the practical stuff, but unless we forgive, we're going to tie ourselves up in knots. And we all know people who are tied up in knots, and we've all been tied up in knots ourselves over stuff that we've allowed in our life that we're angry and frustrated about. Forgiveness is what unties every single one of those knots and gets rid of them out of our life. Yes. We need to forgive. And I don't for one minute think that it's an easy thing to do, but it is a choice that we make. Yeah. It is a choice that we make. We want to feel like we want to forgive someone, but the Bible says forgive whether you feel like it or not. Yeah. Just do it. Forgiveness is an act of our will that says, I am choosing to forgive because Jesus Christ forgave me. Colossians 3:8 says, now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, malicious behaviour, slander and dirty language. Do you notice he puts all of those things together? Yeah. I find that quite interesting because quite often what happens when we're angry is we have rage, we have maliciousness and we often have the bad language. And don't you tell me you don't, because I've heard you. We have the bad language. We have the bad attitudes which produce the bad language. We need to deal with it. Yeah. And Colossians 3:8 says now, yes. Now is the time, today. Right. If you're holding on to something, today, now is the time to deal with it. Now, not tomorrow, but now. Now is the time. Now, can I say now is the time to forgive and to be forgiven for the stuff that has caused you to carry anger and bitterness in your life. Now is the time. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. God's hard sometimes, isn't he? Isn't he tough? Isn't he tough? But do you know why he can be tough? Because he gave everything for us. He forgave us. He laid his life down for us. He has done everything for us. And we, out of response to that, can choose to forgive. We can choose to forgive. So I ask us a question this morning. Who do I still need to forgive? Who do I still need to forgive? You may have a whole list of people, or you may just have one person. Can I say, whether it's one or 100, start the process now to forgive, to deal with the issues, to move forward. Because forgiveness is the only thing. And you might have to ask yourself this question fairly regularly. Because sometimes we have people in our lives who re-offend. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that you have people in your life? They're quite often people that you love and care for. And boy, don't they just do stuff that really, we just feel really angry about. And then we think, oh, I forgave them last time, doesn't matter, I've forgiven them. Actually, we might just still need to forgive. I love the story. I haven't got the reference here, but you know, Peter comes to Jesus and he says, if my brother offends me, how many times do I have to give? Seven times? He's thinking he's pretty good. Seven times. I'm thinking if I've forgiven the same person seven times for the same thing, we're probably doing pretty well. And Jesus says, nah, 70 times seven. That does not mean that you have to multiply that out and just stop there. What Jesus is actually saying is you just have to keep forgiving. Yeah. Keep forgiving, whether it's once, whether it's 1,000 times, just keep forgiving. Now, you might need to address some of those issues with that person, but keep forgiving. It's an ongoing process. Ongoing process. So who do we still need to forgive this morning? Let's make a decision to do that today. The third thing, and we talk about this a lot, and I kind of feel like I'm repeating myself, but we need to work on our thinking. We just need to work on our thinking. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Can I say, if you're struggling to know what God's will for your life is, it's probably because you need to change the way you're thinking. And when it comes to things like anger that just tie us up, when it comes to dealing with these issues, it's very hard to seek the will of God when you're tied up in a knot. And the Bible says, get rid of it, deal with it, forgive, and change the way you think about life. Change what you do. Freedom from anger is about changed thinking that produces changed behavior. Changed thinking that produces changed behavior. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Heather said it earlier, we don't have to do this stuff alone. God is working in us to help us change the way we think, to help us want to do what God wants us to do. Will we cooperate with him? Will we cooperate with him and change the way we think and be deliberate about changing the way we think? God is at work within us. Let him into our thinking. Let him into your thinking. There are situations that I know I just want to react out of impulse because I'm frustrated. And God says, stop and think. What would I do and say in this situation? Change the way we think. The world says it's okay to shout off at anybody and to have a go just because we're frustrated. But God says, no, change the way you think about that. It's not okay to do that. Change the way you think. Think the way I think. Get my thoughts and my word into your life and think differently. Do it differently. Do it differently. God's spirit produces spirit-controlled thinking. in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everything that is opposite to anger. Everything that is opposite to anger and rage and bitterness. I particularly love the goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To deal with anger, we need to exercise self-control. Spirit-controlled thinking produces self-control. And when you just want to let fly at that person who has frustrated you for however long, it is spirit-controlled thinking that stops us from lashing out at that person, that stops us from being rude and nasty and horrible to that person. 1 Peter 1:13, think clearly and exercise self-control. One thing I've noticed when I'm angry is that I don't think very clearly. Have anybody else noticed that about themselves? When you're angry, you don't think clearly. And the Bible says, think clearly and exercise self-control. Man, that is hard sometimes to exercise self-control. Now, we had a community initiatives meeting here yesterday, and someone who shall remain completely nameless bought some really yummy cakes. It's very hard to exercise self-control when someone put it's just there. And I have to say, a few of us weren't so good in exercising self-control. When it comes to our anger, we need to learn what is good for us. We need to learn to exercise self-control. We need to learn to put aside the temptation to lash out at somebody, to put aside the temptation to wring their neck, because I know that's how we feel sometimes. Exercise self-control and deal with it the way the Bible says that we're to deal with it. Deal with it by looking at what's going on for us. Deal with it by forgiving. And if there's an issue that needs to be sorted, sort it properly. But exercise self-control in that process. Exercise self-control. This means that we have to stop replaying the angry thoughts. These are the thoughts of hurt and bitterness and all that stuff that goes on in our heads. If you have a small child, you may have come across something called Charlie Bear. And I was thinking about this when I said turning off those thoughts. Because for a child, you can watch Charlie Bear 100 times and it's fabulous. But for a parent, when you've watched Charlie Bear about 3 times, I can assure you, you want to turn the CD off. You want to get that DVD out of that television and put on something that is sensible and normal. Now, I don't have a problem with Charlie Bear. He's a very cute little bear and he teaches kids a lot of great things. But I know from experience with little children that it's really, really, really annoying. And what happens is you find Charlie Bear playing in your head. Are you there, Charlie Bear? It goes on and on and on and on and on. And we have to learn with our thinking to stop that. See, when I'm annoyed with Charlie Bear, I can go over to my DVD player and I can press the off button and I don't have to listen to it again. Yeah. Not ever again if I wish. We need to learn to do that with our heads and with our thinking. We need to go and press that stop button in our head. We've got to stop playing over and over and over the hurt and the bitterness and the stuff that happens. Because when we play it over and over and over, it gets worse and worse and more. We get more anxious and more frustrated and more angry. And we just make the situation worse. We've got to stop replaying those things in our head. Just stop it. Just stop replaying it. Turn the CD player in your head off. If you're younger, replace your iTunes list of resentment with something that is good and wonderful. But whatever term you want to use, whether it's the CD, the DVD, the MP3 player, or your iTunes list on your phone, computer, whatever it is that you use, we know how to press the stop button on that thing when it's annoying us. Learn to press the stop button in our heads. Learn to do it. See, Ephesians 5:17 says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly. See, when we're allowing stuff to replay and replay and replay, we're actually acting thoughtlessly. We're not taking control of what's going on in our thinking. We're just letting it happen. And we need to take control. We need to allow the Spirit of God to come in. And we need to replace that stuff with something that is good and right and true and honest and lovely. I know from experience that you might need to keep pressing the stop button a few times. Because we have this uncanny thing about going back. When something triggers us again, we go back to Oh, most of us could remember back years of stuff that's happened, and we start playing and replaying and replaying it. We've got to stop that. Yeah. What happened 20 years ago should not be affecting your life today. But I know for some of us it is, because we haven't stopped the playing of it in our head. We haven't forgiven the person that's perpetrated something horrible against us. We've allowed the anger to just sit there and eat away at us. And we just replay it, and the more we replay it, the more it eats away at us. Let's stop it. Just stop it. When we catch ourselves replaying, press the stop button, eject the wrong message, fill it up with something that is good. Fill it up with something that is different. Fill it up with something that is going to encourage you. Fill it up with something that is going to help you think good thoughts. Fill it up with the Spirit of God in your life. And seek God and seek Him. Colossians 3, 1-2 says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand, and think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth." See, our problem is we so often get caught up in the things of earth. We so often get caught up in thinking about stuff that happens here instead of thinking about what God has done for us, what God wants to do through us, and what God wants to do in the future. And can I encourage each one of us? Because I know that anger is not something that just disappears overnight. It is something we have to work on continually. Because there will always be people in our life that we're going to have that initial emotion of anger to. But my question for you this morning is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the anger that rises up in your life? Change thinking, acting on how God wants us to think, is about deliberately thinking differently. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to make a decision this morning to deliberately think differently? Or are we going to go away and say, great message, and then just get caught up in the things of life and let it happen again? What are we going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? This challenges me, because I know that there are times when frustration can get a hold of us and anger can rise up, and we all need to learn to deal with it. We need to understand what's going on for us. What is it that is going on for me? Why am I feeling so angry? What has happened here? Then forgive, forgive, forgive. Just keep on forgiving. And change how we think. When I change how I think about a situation, when I think about what God thinks about in those situations, when I get my perspective on God's perspective, the stuff that's happening seems so unimportant. So unimportant. Life should be about God's perspective, not about our own perspective. When we change our thinking, when we set our sights on the heavenlies, when we think about all the things that are good and right and lovely and true, and when we focus on the reality of heaven, then we have a chance to deal with the stuff in our life and to be free from the anger that is in our life. So as I wrap up this morning, take responsibility. No excuses for anger anymore. No excuses. Forgive and be transformed. Have spirit-controlled behavior. Not an actions-controlled, impulsive behaviour, but spirit-controlled behaviour. We don't want to be a slave to anger. We want to be a slave to the righteousness of God in our lives, to the Spirit of God in our lives. So this morning, if you're struggling with this, maybe we're just all eyes closed now. If you're struggling with this, now is the time to deal with this issue. It's gone on long enough. Now is the time to deal with it. If this is an issue for you, open your heart to God. Just open up your life to Him and just ask Him to come in and allow His Spirit to show you and to speak to you and to open your heart and your mind to what He's saying to you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for every person that is here this morning. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would come in and just nudge gently those parts of us that we need to change. Father, that where there is anger and frustration, Lord God, that you would speak into our hearts and lives, that you would show us what the cause of that is, Lord God, not what the other person is doing, Lord, but what our part in that is, Lord God, so that we can deal with it. Lord, help us to forgive. Help us to forgive and forgive and forgive and to come to you, Lord God, for forgiveness. And Father, I just ask that, Father, in all of this, we will be able to think differently and do differently, Father, that anger would not control us, that we would not be a slave to anger, but that we'll be a slave, Lord, to your love and your grace and your righteousness in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going, oh, don't know much about God. I don't know who he is. What does it mean that Jesus died for me? Can I say, our Heavenly Father sent his Son to pay the price for all the stuff that goes on in our life. All the sin, all the negative, all the stuff that where we've mucked up, where we've messed up over time. God sent his Son, and his Son died for us, and he rose again that we could have new life in him. And if you want that new life this morning, open your heart to him. Open your heart. And if everybody just prays together, if you want to make that opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus, why don't we just pray together? Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would come into my life. Make me new, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.